Okay, so today's daf is Psachim, daf Samach Ches. We are on the last word of Psachim, daf Samach Zayim Beis, where Rabbi Yochanan said that a Balkari is sent away from two camps, the Machane Shechina and the Machane Leviya, and for our purposes, that's the Har Habayis. So, but now they're going to ask a question. Ben Yeshiva asked a question on the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. So, Meisve, we have a question. Says in the following brisa, bale boel nida ketame me. Someone who has relations with a nida, so he is like a tame mace. So the Gemara wants to clarify lamai for what in what way is it like a tame mace? Ilay milutu maslam. If you say that regarding the time of the tuma, hai tuma shiva ksivbe, vai tuma shiva ksivbe. And that's not like a big chiddush because it says explicitly that if someone touches a corpse, then you're tamei for 7 days. And also the Torah tells us in Vayikra Tezvav Chavdalad, Im Shachov Yishkav Ish Oso V'tihini Dasala V'tamei Shivash Yom. If someone has a relation with Anida, he's also tamei for 7 days. Elav L'machanosam. So rather, the intent is to tell, of the mission is to tell us that they are sent out of the same types of camps. It's just like Tamei Meis is only sent out of Machne Shechina, so too a Bol Nida is only someone in relation with the Nida is only sent out from Machne Shechina. Ubi de Seifo le Machanosim Have, and since the second half of this Mishnah is talking about the camps, sending out from the camps, Reishanami le Machanosim. So therefore, the first part that we were mentioning about comparing Tumas Sheretz to Balkari, which we learned yesterday, that also should be talking about camps. And therefore, we're going back to our question. And therefore, if we're comparing Tumas, if we're talking about camps, that Balkari is like Tumas Sheretz, that means the Balkari is only sent out from the Machne Shechina, not the Machne Leviya. So the Gemara says, Mida Iriya, is that really a proof? Hakidisa Balkidisa. No, each part of the mission is talking about something different. The comparison between Tuma Sheretz and Balkari has nothing to do with what camps it is that they're sent out from. That's talking about that they're similar in that there's Tuma even Ba'ones. And in an unavoidable circumstance, if it wasn't intentional, and the comparison between Boel Nida and Tmei Meis is talking about the Machano. So you can have the first half and the second half of the Mishnah talking about different situations. The Gemara asked Meisve. They're going to ask another question because the Brisa says the following: Mitzora Chomer Mizav Izav Chomer Tmei Meis. A Mitzorah is more severe than a Zav because it's sent out from Machane Yisrael. And a Zav is more common than Tmei Meis because that's sent out from Machane Leviya. Yatza Baal Keri, Shetamei Meis, Chomer Mimenu. This excludes a Baal Keri where a Tamei Meis is more severe than it. So now the Gemara is going to try to understand the intent of this Braisa. My Yatza, what does it mean, Yatza Baal Keri? What does it mean that Baal Keri is that a Tamei Meis is more chomer than a Balkari. Lav yatsa miklal zav ubalichlal Tamei Meis. So maybe it means that it's not really considered part of the category of a zav, which is set out of the Machane Leviya, and rather it's considered like a Tamei Meis, that it's allowed in the Machane Leviya. The Tamei Meis chomer menu umutter Machane Leviya. Now, what do we say? This Brisa says that in order of hierarchy, the hierarchy from more severe tuma to least severe is Tamei Meis is more severe than Balkari. So if Tamei Meis is permitted in Machane Leviya, so certainly the Balkari should be permitted in Tamei Leviya. That should be allowed in Machane Leviya. That perhaps is what the Brisa is telling us. And that would go against Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says that a Balkari is not allowed in Machane Leviya. So Gemara says, no, lo, yatsa mi machane tamei meis. Rather, I'm sorry, yatsa means it goes out. So So Yotza, so he says Yotza mi mafane tamime. So the Balkari, it goes out of the camp of the tamimeis, where the tamimeis is. Ve'nichnas lamachane zav, and it enters into the place where the zav is. In other words, it's sent out like a zav from two machanos. Ve'afol gav the tamimeis chomer mimenu
ubuter.
And saying, even though the Tamei Meis is more strict than Baal Keri, and a Tamei Meis is permitted Machne Levia, nevertheless, Baal Keri is Yatza. When it says Yatza, it's Yatza Miklal Zeh. It goes out, or it's excluded from this hierarchy. In other words, even though it's less severe than Tamei Meis, it is not included. It does not follow from that it is now permitted where a tamei meis is permitted. And what's the reason? Since we have baal keri and tuma sheretz, these are two types of tuma, and the halachos are not explicit in the Torah. And there are two ribuys. There are two extra words by sending out of the camps. One is V'chol Zav, and the second is V'chol Tamei L'Nefesh. So L'may D'Dami Le'ma D'Aminan Le'. So we compare any tuma that's not explicit to a tuma that is explicit. So since a Baal Keri is similar to a Zav, in that in both instances the tuma leaves the body, so it's sent out of the camp, the same camp that the Zav is sent out. And V'yatza El Michutz L'Machaneh, Zo machane, I'm sorry, and therefore, right, so that's why it said that for the machane levia. So tada tada kamed rav yitzchak bar avdibe. So one of the chachamim tada brisa in front of rav yitzchak bar avdibe. Yatzal bechutz lemachane. Zo machane shchina. When the Torah says that by baal keri, he should leave the machane. He should leave the machane. That refers to the machane shchina. Lo yavol tocha machne zo machne levia, and then it says also, below it says he shouldn't come into the machne. So it says it twice: leave the machne and don't come into the machne. So now the second one refers to machne levia. Umikan lebal keri shiatzeh chutz shle machne. So from here we see that the bal keri leaves two machnos. Amar le akati lo I yalte afikte. So if Yitzchak Avdime responds to this person and this chacham, and he says, according to this brisa, where it says that the person who is tame needs to leave, and so what it means therefore is that he enters into the machne levia. In other words, he what does it say? The pasuk says that you have to leave the camp, but then it says don't go into the camp. So he never went in. Are you going to take him out? In other words, like, We never find that he went into the Machne Levia to begin with. So why are you saying that he left? In other words, the pasuk initially says that someone who's tame in a Machne Shechina needs to leave. Okay, so then presumably then what does it mean? Then he goes into the Machne Levia, and then the second part of the pasuk warns us that you shouldn't go at all into the Machne Levia. So he wants to say, it doesn't necessarily, it's not really how the pasuk reads. If you want to read the pasuk, is saying what? The person leaves the Machne Shechina, and then he's about to go into the Machne Levia, lo yavol tocha Machne, he shouldn't go into this Machne. He's saying, he didn't go into it. Like, why are you inserting something that's not in the pasuk? Lishnachrina akati lo afikte yalte. Still, when didn't the pasuk tell you to leave the machne shchina? Even when you didn't tell him to leave the machne shchina, he's entering to the machne levia. So we don't need this pasuk to go out of the machne levia. In other words, why are we assuming that he's standing outside the machne levia? It doesn't read from the pasuk. Ela ema michutz lamachne zu machne levia lo yuvol tocha machne zu machne shchina. it's much better to read like this. Not v'yatza mechutz l'machne, that's the machne shechina, but read, you should v'yatza el mechutz l'machne, you should leave the machne levia, and now it says, lo yavo el tocha machne, zo machne shechina, so when you leave the machne levia, don't go into the machne shechina. So maski v'la ravina, ema idi v'idi. No, you can say maybe that it's not, both are referring to the machne shechina, that maybe both are referring to machne shechina. The lavor alav ba'aseh uvalotaseh. Why don't you say there's an aseh and a lotaseh? In other words, it simply says you have to leave the machne shechina and don't go into the machne shechina. Why are you saying you need to leave the machne levia, don't go into the machne shechina, or leave the machne shechina, don't go into the machne levia? Why can't the pasuk simply be telling you, don't go leave the machne shechina and don't go into the machne shechina? And we'll tell you that if you do that, you violate a law and an asay. So Gemara says, Im Kain, if that's the case, le makra v'yatza mechutz l'machne v'lo v'lotoch. You didn't have to say the word machne a second time. Machne lamali. Well, it could have said v'yatza mechutz l'machne v'lo v'lotoch. So why is he a machne? Shmamina litein lo machne acheres. So it tells you there's another machne that you have to leave. And so you have to leave the machne shechina and the machne levia. So the Mishnah says, "U michui krevav." So that this overrides the Shabbos. There are a bunch of things that you do to the Korban Pesach that overrides Shabbos, and one of them is michui krevav. So Gemara asks, "My michui krevav? What is michui krevav?" Rav Huna Amar sheminakvan b'sakim. You make a hole in the intestines with a knife to clear them out from all the dirt. You just carve out all the insides. And Chia Barav Amar Shirka Demaya, the moisture that's, I guess, stuck to the intestines, the Nafka Agav Ducha Draskita, that leaves by pressing the knife against it. So that's allowed on Shabbos. Amar Avilazar, my time, the Chia Barav, what's the reason of Chia Barav, who says, who explains this way of Micho in a mission, Dechsiv, because it says that by the tzaddikim in the future, the Chorvos Mechim Gerim Yochlu, the Chorvos Machim Gerim Yochelu. So, my Masha, what does this mean? So, Kidda Batargim, this is the translation of Yosef. Rav Yosef translates this, that Yonotep ben Uziel translates, V'nichsehem Dirishiaya, and the property of the wicked people, tzadikai yachsinun, the righteous people will inherit. So we see here that the wicked people are called machim. So that, because v'chorvos machim refers to the property of the wicked people. So since the wicked people are called machim, so therefore michoy is like removing the moisture, the disgusting moisture from the insides of the korban. So that's the machoy, is like the bad part. The Gemara now explains, now that we're talking about this pasuk in Yeshayahu, it's going to explain the beginning of this pasuk. The meaning of the pasuk says, V'ra'u, this is talking about in the future, V'ra'u kvasim kidavram, in the future, that they will, the Klai Yisrael will as they're like sheep, graze and enjoy. Amar Menashe bar Yom Merav, what it says, Kidavram is Kamedu Barbam, as it was promised to them by the Navi. My Kamedu Barbam, what does that mean, Kamedu Barbam? Amar Baye Vechorvos Machim Garam Yochelu. So what was promised? That the righteous will inherit the property of the wicked. Amar Le Rava Bishlam Exiv Chorvos. It had the prophet said Chorvos without the Vav. Then Kidakamard, I would say that makes sense. Hashidachsiv Vichorvos Vilsachwisi Kabar, because it says Vichorvos, the Vav, so that seems to say it's talking about something else in the Pasuk, and it's not referring to the Kidavram as it was promised, because then there would be no connector Vav. Elamar Rava, so rather we want to explain the first half of the Pasuk in a different way. In the future, the righteous people will revive the dead. Because what does it say? Ksiv hacha, v'rok vasim kidavram, ksiv hasam, yiru bashin v'gila kimei olam. So the pasuk says here, and the sheep will graze as it was said. And it says in Sefer Micha, regarding the end of days, yiru, the same lashon of yiru, bashan, so they will graze v'gilad, like the days of old. So bashan ze elisha babina bashan. Who's bashan? Bashan is elisha, who came from Bashan, Shinemar, Vyanai Vishafat Babashan, Uksiv, Po, Elisha, Ben, Shafat, Shiyasak Maim Ayud Eliyahu. So if Sefer Malachim says Elisha comes from, his father's name is Shafat. Divrei Hayamim says that Shafat is from Bashan. So therefore, when the Pasuk says Yeru Bashan, so it's referring to Elisha who comes from Bashan. And who's Gilad? Gilad, that's Eliyahu. The Shinemar B'yom Eliyahu Tishbi Metoshvei Gilad. So Eliyahu is from Gilad. So the Pasuk in Micha says, Yiru Bashan V'Gilad. So it's referring to Elisha and Eliyahu. And since we find that Eliyahu and Elisha, they brought the dead people back to life and use the language of Yiru, so therefore, V'ra'u Kavasim Kedavram, so we're going to talk about the Tzaddikim, will act like Elisha Eliyahu, and they will resurrect the dead. Kidavram, as it was said to Eliyahu and Elisha, who resurrected the dead. Amar Rav Shmuel, Bar Nachmanim Rav Yonos, Hasin Tzadikim, Shiyu Mesim. Says in the future, the righteous people, Shiyu Mesim, the righteous people will resurrect the dead. Another proof. Shenemar, Od Yeshvu, Zkenim, Zkenos, Berchos, Yushlaim, V'ish, Mishan Tov, V'yado, Mirov, Yamim. That the elders will sit in the streets of Yerushalayim, and each one with his staff in his hand from many days. And you'll place my staff on the face of the Na'ar. So again, that the staff was used to resurrect the dead. And so therefore, what do we see? That even in Sefer Zechariah, when it talks about Ish mish anto biyado, that's a very unusual word, mish anto, so that's referring to resurrecting the dead. Ula, so now we're going to talk more about the future. Ula, Rami, Ula is trying to, he asked a question about a contradiction of the psukim regarding Tchias HaMeisim. Ksiv bilab hamos lanesa. On the one hand, the one pasuk says that in the future, the angel of death will be swallowed, and he won't be able to kill anyone anymore. Ksiv ki hanar ben mea shana yamus. On the other hand, the pasuk says that the people will have longer lives. But it still means that they're going to die. Lo kasha kan be Yisrael kan ba ovdei kochavim. Klai Yisrael will not die in the future, but ovdei kochavim will die. But they're going to have long life. So what will the non-Jews do in that time? They're not. Like, what are they doing over there? Because they're not going to live. Because we're talking about Tchias. We're going to talk about in like the next. You know, we're talking about in the after the Messianic era, after resurrection of the dead. So why are there non-Jews there? They're not going to come back to life. You see if. In the future, the Zarim, which are the non-Jews, and they will graze the sheep of Israel, and they will plow the fields, and they will tend to their vineyards, and these non-Jews will have a long life, but they will die in the end. And that's what we're speaking. That's what this pasuk is speaking about. He's just saying in the future, not necessarily. In other words, this pasuk of Amdu Zarim V'Ra'u Tzimcha V'Ein Chorichem is before the resurrection of the dead. That's in the Messianic era. In the Messianic era, before the resurrection of the dead, so then it's going to be natural life. It's going to be, but the non-Jews will live a long time, but after resurrection of the dead, so then they're not going to live. Rav Chista Rami, Rav Chista asked a question between different psukims regarding the future. Siva Chafra Levono Bosha Alchama. The pasuk says that the sun will and the moon will become embarrassed, and they're not going to provide light. Another pasuk it says the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. The light of the sun will be seven times like the light of the 7 days of creation. That's the difference. In Imosa Mashiach, the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be seven times like the light of the 7 days of creation. But in Olam Haba, there will only be sort of the light emanating from God's divine presence, and therefore there will be no other light. But Shmuel, who says the only difference between this world and the Messianic era is that Klal Yisrael will not be enslaved to the other nations, but the rest of the world will not change. There won't be any supernatural changes. So what can you say? Because he would say that in Yemos HaMashiach, you're not going to have the light of the moon like the light of the sun. So Yidivi Lolam Abav, Lokasha, Kam Machne Shechina, Kam Machne Tzadikim. Kone Shmuel, both of these situations are referring to Olam Haba, where the nature will change, and the pasuk that says the sun and the moon will be embarrassed, that's talking about in the Ziv Hashchina, that's talking about in the camp, in the divine camp where the light is very strong. So it'll be some area where the light will be really strong, and the pasuk that says the sun, the light of the moon, the sun will be strong, that will be in the Machane Tzadikim. In other words, when the tzaddikim are sitting in front of God, and there's no other light, when tzaddikim are not sitting in front of God, then the light of the moon and the sun will be very bright. Rava Rami. Rava asks the question, on the one hand, the Pasuk says, I will cause to die, and I will bring back to life. And in the continuation, it says, Machatzi v'ne'er pap. So Hashta Achuye Machaye, being the Pasuk Hashem says he brings back to life. And so then Mirpa, so obviously, so Machatzi v'ne'erpa, that causes sickness and then he'll heal. So obviously if Hashem brings back to life, obviously he's going to heal. Is that obvious? Lo kol shekein, so why need the second half of the Pasuk? Elam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma she'ani memis ani mechaye kamo she'machatzi v'ne'erpa. That he says that someone that I kill, I will be back to life, just like someone who I cause to be sick or injured, that I will heal. So, because just like healing is only dependent on me, so also bringing back to life is also only dependent on me. Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis teach in the Braisa, Ani Amis V'Achyeh. Maybe it means that one person will die and one person will live. In other words, Hashem will cause one person to die and cause another person to live. Like the world exists nowadays, that some people die and other people are born. Just like the wound and the healing is referring to the same person. So also, the death and life refers to the same person. So this is a source that there is tchias amesim in the Torah, resurrection of the dead. And another explanation of the pasuk, because Hashem says, just like a person was when I killed him, so it will be when I bring him back to life. So just like a person when I kill him, so he will be when I bring him back to life. So in other words, if during his life he had the wound, so he will be like that. Vahadar. And Vahadar Masha Machati Va Adi Erpa. And after that I bring him back to life, I will heal his wound. So in other words, we're saying here is that Ani Amis V'Achyeh, so first I'm going to bring him back to life. And then, you know, whatever sickness he has at that point, whatever wound he has, so then I'm going to heal that. Then Machatzi V'Ani Erpa. Okay, now we've done with this Agadata, and we're back to Psachim stuff, Korban Pesach stuff. So the it says v'hekter chalavav, that burning the limbs, burning the fats, overrides Shabbos. Tanya, we learn in a brisa. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Shimon says, "Borei kama chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Come and see how precious a mitzvah is that you can perform in its proper time." Shrei hekter chalam v'varim uptarim k'shem kolayla. That behold, burning the fats and the limbs, the different types of fats and limbs can be burnt all night. The aim of tein lahem ad shetechshach, but you don't wait until dark, until Shabbos is over, but you burn it that day. Since the main part of the burning is during the day, it overrides. It's Shabbos is overridden because of them, because it's beautiful to perform the mitzvah at its right time. Therefore, even though Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, we burn the fats of the Korban Pesach during the day, not the night, to fulfill the mitzvah in its proper time, even though technically speaking, it's kosher to be done all night. So the Mishnah now says, Harkavaso v'havaso. So you bring it from outside the tchum, cutting off its wart. So that does not override Shabbos. V'rminu cholchim yabalos v'mikdash, avalo b'amdina, v'kli kan kan aser. But we have a Mishnah in Erevin which says you are allowed to cut off a wart in the mikdash, because that's only an issur d'rabbanan. Cutting off a wart, that's a mum, that's just a blemish, but if you cut it off, then you're allowed to use it as a korban. So you're fixing the animals. That's a rabbinic prohibition. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, but that's a shvus. But the Mishnah says you're allowed to do it in the mikdash, but not outside the mikdash. And if you want to cut it with a kli, with an instrument, so then it's forbidden in both instances. So that goes against our Mishnah. So the truth, I'm sorry, my mistake. It's a, the malacha is a malacha of, it's a tolda of gozes. It's a tolda of gozes, and which is shearing. But since it's only the typical way that you cut off the wart is with a knife, so therefore what? So therefore, only if you use a knife do we say that it's forbidden on a Torah level. And if you use your hand, so then that is done in an indirect way, and so it knocks it down to Nisra Drabonon. So we have a question here. Why is our mission?
Why only in the Mikdash can you do it and not a Medina, if that's the reason?
Why what? No, the Medina, no, ain't Shfus B'Mikdash. There's no,
you said that's not the explanation.
Yeah, no, it's not. I'm saying the prohibition is not based on fixing the animal. The prohibition is based on gozes. So it's a doraisa to do it with a kli. So therefore, it's forbidden both in the Mikdash and in the Medina. But if you do it with your hand, so then you do it without a kli, so then it's only Nisra Drabbanan, and there's no prohibition in the Mikdash, but there is a prohibition outside the Mikdash. So now the Gemara has, this is a question, it's a contradiction, because our Mishnah said that you're not allowed to cut off the wart. Why shouldn't you be allowed to cut off the wart with your hand on Shabbos? So Rabbi Lozor, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Chadamar Idi Biyad, Ha Balecha, Baha Biyavesha. So maybe both Mishnayos were talking about where you use your hand, but our Mishnah, which says you can't do it, is talking about a moist wart, that they said that this you could have done it before Shabbos. However, Ha Biyavesha with a dry wart, that even midrabanan, there's no prohibition to cut it. It's probably just like, since it's not really connected to the animal, just some dry skin, it's not really considered connected. So v'chadamar, idi, v'lecha, v'lokashak, habayad, v'habakli. And another one of these amoraim explain the two mishnayos, the discrepancy in the halachos. They both are talking about a moist, a wart, and the difference is with that in Mishnah in Erevin is talking about when you're using your hand, and therefore it's an issur d'rabbanan and shvus b'mikdash, so it's permitted. And our Mishnah is talking about where you cut off with a kli, And therefore, that's a malacha gmur, that's an issur d'oraisa, which is not permitted even in the mikdash. Uleman damar habiyad babikli my time alo mar idi vidi biyad velo kasha habalecha habiya biyavesha. According to the Amora, who said the distinction is between the hand and the kli, that's one mission with the hand, one mission with the kli, why didn't he give the answer and say one's talking about with a moist wart and one's talking about a dry wart? Omar Allah, yavesha mifrach pricha. Says that a dry one is a dry, the dry skin just crumbles by itself. So the language of chotchim or ein lachtoch, that is not, removing it is not called chituch. So therefore that can't be a distinction. When we said you're allowed to cut it off and we're saying, oh, that's talking about with a dry wart, where just, you know, where that simply crumbles. So that, but that's that the lashon of chotech should not apply to removing the skin, the skin from the dry wart. Uleman da amar idi vidi biyav lo kasha habalecha v'hab yavesha my tem lo mar idi vidi balecha lo kasha habiyav habikli. So the other amora who said that one mishnah talking about a moist wart and one talking about a dry wart, why didn't he say that the difference is one using a yad versus a kli? So, Omalach, Kli HaKatari Hasam, Kli Khan, the Khan Aser. He says that, how can you say Mishnah talking about with the Kli? It says explicitly in Erevin, if you use a Kli, that it's Aser. So, why would our mission need to mention this a second time? V'idach, HaDiktani, Kli HaKha, Plukster, Blazer, Yeshua, Asalashmina. But our Amora, the Amora who says that our Mishnah in Psachim, which says you cannot cut it off with a knife, with a kli, why did it mention if we already know it from Erevin? It's to tell us about the Machlotin of Rabbi Yeshua, that Rabbi Eliezer allows it even with a kli. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. So our Mishnah says, and Amar Rabbi Eliezer says, the Maim Shchita, etc. And just like Shchita overrides Shabbos, so too, the Isur Drabonon should also override Shabbos associated with the Korban. Yeshua says, no, that's not true. By Yom Tov, we see that the Isur, that some Isur Derais are permitted, but Isur Drabonon are not permitted. And then Rabbi Lazar responds back to Rabbi Yeshua, that's not a proof, because that's a Rishus, that's simply an option, and we're talking about a mitzvah here. So once we're allowing Shechita to do the mitzvah, we should be allowed to do all the Isur Drabonon to do this mitzvah. So the Gemara is now going to explain the rationale of Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yoshua, Letamei Damar Simchas Yontov, Nami Mitzvahi. Rabbi Yoshua, who proves his halacha from Malachas Yomtov, says that Simchas Yomtov, by eating and drinking, is also a mitzvah. The Tanya, Velaz Omer Ein Lila Adam B'Yomtov, Ela O'ochol B'Shoser O'Yoshiv B'Shona. Rabbi Eliezer says that on Yom Tov, either you should eat or drink the whole day, or you should sit and learn the whole day. So you should do either or. When Rabbi Yeshua Omer Chalke, you split it into two. Chetzio l'achilo shtiya, v'chetzio l'beis hamedrash. Split the day in two on Yom Tov. Half the day for eating and drinking, half the day for beis hamedrash. So Rabbi Yeshua holds that there is a mitzvah to eat and drink on Yom Tov. So when Rabbi Eliezer says back to Rabbi Yeshua, Why are you bringing Yom Tov as a proof that you could do some malachos d'oraisa but no malachos d'rabbanon? That's a reshus. What's Rabbi Yeshua's response? No, that's not true. The mitzvah of eating and drinking on Yom Tov, that is a mitzvah. So just like that mitzvah, we have d'oraisas which you're permitted to, yet you still can't do d'rabbanons. So too, by Korban Pesach, we would allow the d'oraisas of shechting the korban, but certain d'rabbanons that you could have done beforehand, we will not allow you to do it. And Rabbi Eliezer, who disagrees, actually disagrees, and he holds there's no mitzvah of Simchas Yom. There's no mitzvah of eating or drinking on Yom Tov. You have the option. You can either eat or drink, or you can learn the whole day. So that's why he holds it's only a rishus. And the Gemara continues, and he says, both of them learn their rationale from the same psukim. One pasuk says it's an atzeres. The seventh day of Pesach is an atzeres to God, and regarding Shmi atzeres, it's an atzeres for you. So, Rav Lazar Savar, Okul Hashem, Okul Lachem. So, you have And these all do with Yom Tov, so there's no difference between them. Lezer says, so you got to pick. It's either Lashem or Lachem. And Yeshua Sabar Chalkeu, Chet Shalashim, Chet Shalachem. Yeshua says half for Hashem and half for you. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar says, everyone agrees that during Shavuos, that we definitely need Lachem. You need to eat or drink. My time, Yom Shinit Nebel Torah was a day that when Torah was given, and we need to show happiness that this is to show that how we're happy by eating and drinking to show that this is a very special day. Amaraba, it's very interesting. I might say the opposite. I might say a spiritual day like Shavuos, where we got the Torah, we just learned the whole day. They're saying no, that we have to eat. We have to make a party to celebrate this Matan Torah. We have to do what humans typically do to celebrate, which is eating and drinking. So the right. In fact, the my notes here say that this very question that says that the nice pshat here, the Eish El Avram says the following: that what was one of the tainas of the angels? The angel said to Moshe, "We should keep the Torah in heaven. Why should the Jews get the Torah? They're going to sin, right?" We should have, keep Torah in heaven. Don't bring the Torah down to earth. And what was the response? The response Hashem said back to it that what? That the there are so many mitzvos that rely on human actions and human deeds, eating and drinking. In other words, the Torah is full of human stuff. And so that's why it was brought down to earth and the angels didn't keep it. So that's what we're saying here, that it's not that we're eating and drinking to say we deserve the Torah, not the angels, because the Torah is all about living here on earth and, you know, engaging in the physical world through the values and the blueprint of the Torah. In any case, Amar Rabba, Komon B'Shabbos, Divin Nami Lachem, I tell him, of course, the Shabbos Oneg. Everyone agrees that on Shabbos, you need Lachem, you need to have physical pleasure to eat or drink, because the Pasuk says, you should call Shabbos an Oneg. Everyone agrees that on Purim you also need to eat or drink because it says these are days of Mishta and Simcha, which are eating and drinking. Mar Brei de Ravina, Mar the son of Ravina says, Kula Shaita Hava Yasiv B'Tanesa. So all the whole year he was sitting, he would fast. Levar Miatzarta, Mipuria, Umala Yom de Kippur, except for Shavuos, Purim, and Erev Yom Kippur. Atzeres Yom Shinit and Torah, both Torah. Shavuos, the day when Torah was given. Puria, Yom Mishav Simcha, see Purim, it says days of Mishnah and Simcha. Male Yom de Kippur, the Tani Chia Barab Midifti, Vinisim Nafshosechim Tishalachodesh. Because, why Erev Yom Kippur? Because Chia Barab Midifti learned taught in a Braisa. You should afflict your souls on the ninth of the month of Tishrei. Do we fast on the ninth of Tishrei? Don't we fast on the tenth of Tishrei? Ella lomar lacha, rather comes to tell you, anyone who eats or drinks on the ninth of Tishrei is as if you are fasting on the ninth and the tenth. So there's Erev Yom Kippur, there's a special mitzvah to eat or drink, so you'll have the strength to fast on Yom Kippur itself. Rabbi Yosef,
what does it do with the rest of the Yom Tovim, whereas the mitzvah of Simcha to eat and drink?
No. Shabbos. So we're saying there's a debate about that. There's a debate about, is it Kula Lochem or Chatzi Lochem? That's a debate between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. But these Amoraim are saying that even Rabbi Eliezer holds that on these days, Purim and Shavuos, we need Lachem. And apparently he doesn't have the drasha of Shabbos. He doesn't agree with the drasha of Shabbos that you have to eat on Shabbos. Right. In fact, I think Tosas actually, I think, discusses this, that, no, I'm sorry. in Brachos. The Tosfos in Brachos says that let's say you have a Tanis Chalom. So can you do that on Shabbos? So what we're really talking about here is not any Stam fast. And he would hold, you shouldn't fast on Shabbos. But he would say, let's say there was a Tanis, let's say he had a bad dream and he would do a Tanis. So he would do it for any day other than these 3 days, Purim, Shavuos, and Erev Yom Kippur. Or other Achronim hold that maybe that Shabbos might be different than these other days, that maybe if for you fasting is your own egg, so that might be permitted, as opposed to Lochem might be you may mishtav a simcha. That might be more of an objective requirement. So there are different ways to understand it. But you're right. The only exceptions here were Erev Yom Kippur, Purim, and Shavuos. Rav Yosef b'yoma datzarta amar avdi li egla tilsa. Rav Yosef on Shavuos, he would say to his household, prepare for me a calf that was born the third calf born to his mother, which is the best. Amar iloha yoma de kogari. Without this day of Matan Torah that caused me to, to show the greatness, to have the best food because of Limud Torah, Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka. There are many people whose name is Yosef like me, and I won't be different from them. In other words, because of, why am I celebrating Shavuos so much? Because without what happened on Shavuos, I'd be like literally a regular Joe, regular Joseph. I'd be like any other Joseph on the streets. So Shavuos is what made me who I am, and therefore I'm celebrating this. Rav Sheshes called Taltin Yami Madir Le Tamuda. Rav Sheshes, he would review his studies every 30 days. Tali V'koy B'Ibra D'Dasha, and he would lean by the brick of the door. V'amar Chadai Nafshai. I'm so happy. Loch Karai, because of you and for your needs. He said, "Loch Karai, because of you I learned Torah. Loch Tanai, because of you I learned Mishnah, so I can live in Olam Haba." So we see from here that they saying that for my soul, he's saying my soul is happy that I study Torah, I study Mishnah for my soul. So Ini, is that really true? V'amar v'lozei mali Torah lo niskar mishmayim v'aretz shenemarim lo brisi yomam v'layla chukos shmayim v'aretz lo samti. So that what do we see from these pasuk, that my covenant, that my brisi yomam v'layla, that's Torah study. And what do we see? It says lo yomush sefer Torah zem picha v'yisub yomam v'layla, that you should study day and the night. So because in the schus of the learning, the whole world is established. So why is he saying, why is Rav Sheshes saying, oh, the Torah is established, the Torah is for me, the Torah is for my soul. No, the Torah is for the whole world. So the Gemara says, Meikara ki avin inish adaita nafshi kavi. When a person starts learning, he should say it's for him to fulfill the mitzvah of v'gisa bo yom v'layla. So he should first say that it's for his own benefit, and then so that's, in other words, why is he reviewing the Torah? So his point is he's sort of like strengthening himself. It's for me. The Torah is for me. It makes me special, and that'll motivate him to learn to review the Torah again and again. But even though obviously it's for the whole world, but it also results in him and his soul, and he makes it personal, which is important as well. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful Tu B'Shvat.